This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome one and all to the Back of the Nets Preview Podcast. I'm your host, Terence Ford. And yes, we got our first point of the season. We won't talk loads about that because there was a review show last night, Hesketh, which have covered all our content, so we've got nothing to talk about. So,
yeah,
in the chat,
when Terence always asks us, you know, is there anything we want to talk about? Everything that was listed off has already been ticked off by the review show. So, cheers, guys.
So, based on that, Albert, today is National Thrift Shop Day, or Charity Shop Day, if you will. Got any Palace bargains you want to tell us about?
None from a charity shop, unfortunately. I think it's hard to think of Palace related bargains because everything's so expensive nowadays, isn't it? In terms of football, and I don't trawl eBay for programs or stuff like that. You know, I'm not that sad.
Easy.
So you've got an app, haven't you? You downloaded an app today, Hesketh, didn't you, or something?
Yeah. Listen, we'll come to that. We'll come to that. Carry on.
The only thing I can think of that's very good value for money is, that's if you can get them, and I haven't been to Selhurst this season yet, is the chicken goujons in the White Horse Lane end of the ground. But, you know, you got to get there really early for those.
What are they like, funneling them in from... chicken shop names escaped me. No, not Morley's. The one that with the white smoke coming out of the roof.
Tasty jerk.
What's wrong with me,
mate? You don't get goujons in Tasty Jerk. What are you on about? Okay. Although a jerk chicken goujon would be quite good. Now you come to mention it, but I'm not going to be the one to suggest they do it. I can't imagine that going down well in there.
Especially if you go in wearing your baseball cap like that, mate.
That's a legitimately good visual gag for anyone listening.
Charity, we gave some bloody charity to 12 years ago today. News broke that we were signing Edgar Davids.
Wow.
Yeesh.
12 years. I was so excited. I know this because of my Facebook memories today told me. But I was very excited.
Not my favourite left back that's ever played for Palace.
I mean, he might be up there with the worst, like the very worst.
You wouldn't say that to his face, though, would you?
Well, no, because he's about 5'5", so he'd be coming up to about my chest.
Come with his head.
Oh, right. Anyway, let's do beer check. Albert, you're drinking a beer. Good stuff.
Yes, I am. We had some friends around today. They brought some beers because we're all unemployed at the moment. It's great. And this is an Estrella Galicia. I don't know Estrella if it's the same as Galicia. Yeah, I don't know if it's a spin-off of regular Estrella or if it's a new cat in town, but it's pretty good. It's pretty inoffensive, which, you know, is my main aim in a beer, unlike you.
What are you rating it out of 5?
A solid 4.
That's pretty good. Terence, what does your app say of...
I was trying to think of what four was in Spanish, and I couldn't think of it. So I just had to say
that four. Was Quattro.
Quattro.
What's the beer called again? What did you say it was called?
Don't make me say it again. Estrella. Is it a hard C? Is it a soft C? Galicia.
3.15 on Untappd.
One thing's for sure, we're definitely not going to get a deal with them because I can't pronounce it.
Okay. Heskiff, what you got?
I was trying to think of something funny or just a lie, but I'm just drinking water.
The Australians are going to be all over you again, mate.
I know. And unsurprisingly, I had a red stripe earlier. I'm a creature of habit.
I thought you were a bit punchy.
So I've got beer number two from the Tiny Rebel birthday box, and it's a mixed berry double fruzy sour, apparently. So
I'm sorry. Sorry. What was that? I'm so sorry.
Mixed berry double fruzy sour.
Yeah, it's the double fruzy that I want to.
What's a single fruzy?
Yeah, let alone a double fruzy.
The what problem fruzy with these birthday ones is there's no blurb.
The name of the beer is fucking long enough. It doesn't need a blurb.
You see this? It's like a pinky red. Look at this coming out.
Oh, yeah, that does look like a double fruzy.
Reckon if they went for the hat trick and got a triple fruzy, that would be one fruzy too many.
Mate, never go triple fruzy.
Never. Fair enough.
Mate.
Right.
There's no coming back from that.
Now, I know everyone's interested as to what it's going to taste like. So while I taste it, I'm just going to play you this clip from last week's podcast first. Anderson will just bully that Nunes or whatever his name is up front, like he did to Jesus, who got more increasingly wound up as the game went on. So I got sad. Anderson was unbelievable in that game.
Oh, man, I was just about to say.
I just love him. Love him. I want to be him. I want to be able to play like him. I want his dress sense, like everything about him. Love the bloke. Fucking baller.
You want to be bullied by him.
I'll be bullied by him, yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
Absolutely. Rinse and repeat, basically, for this week, right?
Fruzy indeed.
What a man. I would love to drink some double mixed berry, double fruzy sours with Anderson. It's delicious, by the way. Tastes like in a summer's day in a beer garden. Oh, amazing.
Yeah. Albert, you don't look convinced.
No. It looks like a fucking pint glass of like Robinson's summer fruit.
Yeah, Vimto.
But the pint glass hasn't quite been rinsed since the last time it was washed, and it's formed a bit of a fairy liquid head.
Well, yeah, but it may look like all of those things. It's very accurate. However, it is also very delicious. So there you go. I fully recommend it.
I want to know what the score on your app is for that.
It's 3.86. So getting
better
up there.
That's better than yours, Albert.
Well, mine's got no fruzy. That's the problem.
Nah. Error.
Yeah.
Big error.
It's gonna go up now when I add my 4.5 rating to it. So.
They're not going to shag you, mate.
They might send us some more free beer, though. You never know. Just hammer it home. I've got 8 more to go. That's 10 podcasts worth of Tiny Rebel beers. By the end of it, they might just send us some. Cost of living crisis, mate. We've got to try something to get beer around here.
Yeah, but you're mentioning it. You're going to mention it for 10 podcasts in a row for free. So anyone that then decides to send you free product from that company is a moron because you've already done it. You've done the work for them. You need to be a bit more hard, you know, play hard to get.
I'm doing the work in lieu so they can just give me the beers for it.
If that's the way we're going, can I just say that I've been eating Revels all evening? So,
I thought you were going to big up Thames Water.
I'm definitely not going to big up Thames Water.
Trying to get some money off your bill.
Octopus Energy, I'm using your electricity here. Can you reduce my bill, please. By don't reduce it. Just don't increase it anymore.
Cheap energy, awesome revels. I'll take any of the three.
Mate, come October, we're gonna have to record this podcast through some plastic cups and a piece of string. Oh, but revels, I do like the sound of revels, I'll tell you that much.
Tiny revels.
Oh goodness. We should just end it there. End the pod there. It's all over.
And who said we had nothing to talk about?
International bullshit day.
I mean, some of those international days are bullshit, as we discovered. 18th of August, which will be Thursday, of listening to this podcast, the day it comes out. What was it? National Ice Cream Pie Day, National Fajita Day, National Pinot Noir Day, and National Mail Order Catalog Day.
Mate,
what did you say it was like, Albert?
It was it's like an apprentice task when they have to come up with an occasion or a greetings card and really scraping the barrel with mail order catalog or ice cream. Wasn't there an I Love Feet Day? Didn't you say there was that as well?
That's, that day of recording, Wednesday the 17th. Yes,
well, that's today. I Love Feet.
I Love My Feet Day. My feet, specifically my feet.
You couldn't have that the same day as the fajita day because there's someone's bound to get confused.
Yeah.
Mm. No, not feet, fajita. Oh, sorry. I'm at the wrong party. Could you please put your shoes on and leave?
Oh, anyway.
What was your charity shop?
Oh, thrift? My charity. Well, I did think of a bunch of players.
See that t-shirt you're wearing?
No, it's just a white t-shirt from Primark. Like, what do you want from me?
And I was just wearing my fucking hat, but you had to have a pop.
I got a what must be a one of one 2004 white goalkeeper top with no sponsor on off of eBay for £20. So I think it was the Premier League season, Spironi's first season. It was like white with like a red and blue stripe down here. And no sponsor.
I can just about envisage him wearing it when was it Marcus Bent?
Kevin Campbell.
Yeah. Another second rate Everton striker absolutely mugging him off. Well, he mugged himself off really, didn't he? But
it worked out in the end.
Yeah, I feel he amassed so much credit after that. In fact, I almost want to ask for that bit to be edited out.
Albert hates Julian Speroni, I think, is how we'll call it.
That would be the clickbait headline if we were Arsenal Fan TV or something.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, now you blew my segue out of the water, so I'm just going to have to go straight into it. On my exodus from Northern away games since having kids, of course I had to watch Liverpool game from home on Monday night, and I got a text from my neighbour after Zaha scored. He lives three stories above me three flats above me, and he could hear me celebrating.
That's interesting, because I had the complete opposite experience. I watched it. I went up to Northampton to watch it with my brother in like a sports club. And I was so convinced it was going to get ruled out for offside that I didn't even acknowledge it had happened. I literally stayed. I literally just sat in my chair like, nah, it's getting ruled off. And it was only about 4 minutes later when they played another replay that I kind of retrospectively celebrated it. I was convinced they were going to call it for offside.
Describe this sports club to me in Northampton. I'm getting Phoenix Knight vibes.
It was quite large. It's like a snooker hall and a sports club, and there was about 85 fucking TVs. Talking of like Octopus Energy, I'd hate to see their energy bill in there for only about probably 40 people watching it. Quite a few of them Liverpool fans, which was.
Unsurprising, considering you were in Northampton.
In Northampton, and there was one guy who wasn't a friend of us, honestly, who came in like Palace kit and was giving it plenty, which was nice to see.
Albert, it's Yo. None of us think you've got friends. You didn't need to put that in there. You're fine.
No, it's fine. And that, funnily enough, a bit early, had fajitas whilst watching it as well. So,
wow.
But it was quite nice because they were Liverpool fans, but you know, none of them sounded particularly Scouse. And I'd got the train up so I could have a few beers. So it was quite nice just being quite vocal and having them with no ability to say anything, kind of just leaving with tails between their legs at the end. That's quite nice.
What's going on in an Albert fajita?
Nothing out of the ordinary. This feels like a leading question.
It's not a leading question. You just, you know, you're very passionate about how you like your foods and drinks.
Oh, well, all right. Well, seeing as you've mentioned it, no cheese in a fajita for me. Thank you very much. Guacamole, sour cream, salsa, jalapenos, and the aforementioned fajita filling. You know, chicken, beef, pork, maybe a vegetarian one.
With the bread, you'd like the edges to be a little bit crispy.
The bread. My wife's going to be having a heart attack listening to this.
Mate, you're going to get. There's a hit on you now. You're going to get whacked. The tortilla. Do you mean?
Yeah, it's bread. What? Like, come on.
Oh my mate, he's doubled down on it. Can you believe it? He's gone double. No. He's gone double fruzy on his wacky Mexican food bullet.
Do you know what's going to happen, though? Is Vanessa's going to have a go at me for not having a go at him enough. That's what's going to happen.
I've just spat double fruzy all over my phone. That was a wasted mouthful of 4.5 out of 5 beer, Heskey.
Shit. And if you must know, I had Mexican for lunch as well. Thanks very much. Slow cooked lamb in tortillas, not bread. Please don't kill me. Yeah, I'm all about it.
Okay. Heskiff, have you seen this picture? I think it's from Burnley, where they've got covers over two seats in the stand because they've been banned for persistent standing.
I have seen that. And when I saw it, my question was that their seat that they've been banned from? And that's why they're not there. Or have they put covers over a seat saying banned for persistent standing and no one's standing there because there's covers over the seats?
No, right. I think they've done it as a warning. So this is kind of like these people are gone now. They're banned because they were persistently standing. I think it was their seats.
The irony is, if it is actually their seats and there's covers over it, they're going to have to stand because they can't sit down.
Well, after that last segment, I'm a bit worried, mate, that Vanessa's seat might have that banned for GVH of a fellow fan. I'm sorry, Vanessa. I do apologise. I know the difference between bread and a tortilla.
I'm in trouble, guys. I didn't even do anything wrong.
Oh, dearie me. Also this week on Twitter, there's been ex-Palace players raving about current Palace players. So Barry Bannon had some very nice words to say about Eberechi Eze. Albert, I'm sure you saw this trawling through Twitter. Do you still follow the Scottish Messi?
I think so. Yeah, I haven't got around to unfollowing at that point. You just see these things. You don't have to be following people, you know, retweeting, liking. It just comes up on the timeline, like a lot of Palace content that I don't want to see.
Yeah. It's better than Instagram, though. At least you actually get stuff you want to see versus Instagram just giving you a load of guff.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Well, Barry Bannon said, Eze is a lovely footballer to watch, proper player.
can't disagree with him. Again, it's strange. Obviously, we didn't get to see a lot of him last season, but just in that Liverpool game, I don't know how he does it. He just looks like he's moving quite slowly.
Mm.
Like when he picks up a bit of momentum and sort of glides sort of, you know, 15, 20 yards across the pitch, it kind of looks like it's happening in slow motion. It's like he's on some sort of harness on a wire, and he's kind of just like gliding. Yeah. But it's just so silky. I don't know, it's fascinating to watch.
I was just going to drop in a reference, a sort of cultural nerdy reference there about how he glides around. But I think the Venn diagram, people who listen to this and people who watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer, is pretty... It's pretty unlikely.
It's me. It's you and the producer Samantha. That's about it.
All right. Then, well, this is from producer Samantha. It's like the gentleman from series 4. Moving
cut
on.
That bit out. Cut it out.
cut it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's lovely to watch.
Mm.
Not Buffy. Sorry, I'm talking about Eze, not Buffy. Fuck that shit.
Forget it. I'm out.
Yeah. Buffy was lovely to watch in Cruel Intentions.
Yes. Great actor.
Yannick Bolasie, on the other hand, was also raving, this time about Zaha. Heskey, he said, Zaha is one of the big boys in the Prem. Don't let anyone tell you any different. The quality and fight he brings to Palace is something special. If I'm going to war, I'm taking him with me. 37,000 likes.
I got very pumped up when I read that. I would go to war for Wilf. I don't need him to come to war with me. I'll go to war for him.
You stay there, mate. I'll go.
Yeah. I'm not going to last long, Wilf, but it's the thought that counts.
Cut to you at war going, fuck did I say that for?
Yeah. Jesus. I've got a fucking splinter. I can't do this.
That's what I'd say to Anderson. I'm not going to last long, but I'll do it anyway.
Are you still talking about war?
Yes. But of course we'd all go to war for Will, because he's the king. That's what people do. We're law subjects. We'll go to war for the king.
It's so good to read, like, Yeller's... Obviously, yeah, like, Yeller still loves Palace. He's always tweeting, putting stuff on Instagram about us, but just any time he tweets about Wilf, like, instant smile. Like, love that those two still massively love each other. So, always good when I see that. Especially when, like, Wilf gets so much shit from random people on Twitter. It's just nice to hear Yeller shut them all down.
Mm. And, of course, Yeller has a goal at Anfield himself for Palace in that 2-1 win. Was that a Sunday night? Was it the one Scott Dan scored the winner?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Good times. Hopefully now returning to our visits to Anfield after stemming the tide of 10 defeats in a row on Monday night. Jez Rakšaši, he went on loan to a League One club this week, which is excellent stuff from the club there, refusing to write Charlton in anything they did. Whilst, you know, comparing it to the other headlines where they did mention the club name every single time for all the other youth players that went out. It's excellent stuff. But I was hoping he'd score a brace in 3-2 defeats for Charlton, but he got the opening goal, and Heskey, they've been raving about him on Charlton TV exists, apparently it's a thing. And Alan Kirbish, he's a presenter, who knew?
Yeah, mad. I'm not sure how many people watch that. Can't imagine it's many, because there certainly weren't many people in the ground. So,
why there's not many people in the ground, because they're all staying at home and watching Charlton TV.
Glued to Alan Kirbishley.
It's that whole 3 p.m. kickoff. It's all that 3 p.m. kickoff theory come true. You see,
the blackout.
If you've got the perfect production, no one's going to come.
I was sort of following Rich Corley on Twitter, who writes for the South London Press, and he was sort of doing updates from the game and was just immediately said, Rakšaši's too good for this league. Like, he's just absolutely killing it. I saw some Plymouth fans just saying that he's, absolutely dominating them, basically. Got a standing ovation when he got taken off. The Charlton fans tried to sing something like, Rakšaši's a red, he hates Palace, or some nonsense, but if they carry on with that, yeah. Yeah, and if they carry on with that, we'll have him back in January, and you can piss off.
Oh, my goodness. What have I just seen? Further proof that Albert has the biggest queen of a wife going. What just happened, what? Albert? What just happened?
Oh, a different beer, is that? That's...
Yes, spoiler alert. Well, I don't want to walk off in the middle of you lot talking about the League One club. So I just dropped a little message to the wife, and she brought me another beer. It's called Love.
Mm-hmm. It's a weird name for a beer.
You should try it sometime.
If I dropped her a message to say, can you bring me a beer, she'd say, get it, your fucking self.
Come on, do it. Just see what happens. Come on.
I'm gonna do it.
No, live. Don't. Listen, we've already got Sam in the shit house.
Let's see what happens. I'm intrigued. I mean, she is German after all, so she understands the need for beer, right? So
just say bitter.
Bitter.
Apparently, John Smith, you'll get then.
I've put bitter on
you. Yeah, right on, Heskey. You got where I was going.
Thanks. Thanks.
Jesus. A double fruity bitter.
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, I don't even know what a strength of this is, but I'm feeling pretty pissed. 7%, there you go.
Are you feeling double woozy?
Well, yeah, I've got nothing to say. My head's gone. But chat.
He's bottled it.
The door's opened. She thought we won. Heskiff.
Sorry. Wait. I'll give you a tenner if you call her back and say, that's not the one I wanted.
I'm not doing that.
You know what will happen if I was to text that to Vanessa? I'd get the post-it that's reserved for Albert.
He's done it. Why don't you try it?
I've got my filtered water. I'm absolutely fine.
How about you message her and ask for some like chicken sauce and some peppers and cheese in some bread?
Bread. I'm not doing it.
Can you cut the crusts off so it's round? Thanks.
Yeah.
And then fold it in half. Yeah,
I'm sweating. We need to move on.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Well, Jez Raksaki obviously comes from the academy, and there's a Channel 4 documentary on about the youth team at the moment. I think by the time you guys are listening to this, the second episode would have aired, but we're still limited to one episode so far. I mean, Albert is unemployed at the moment, got nothing to do, so I'm fully going to assume he hasn't watched any of it. So I'll direct it to Heskiff. What did you make of episode one?
I thought it was really good. It is like you have to temper it with the whole sort of pressure on 12-year-olds to get a contract renewal, which is mental when you say it out loud.
It annoyed me, like, not obviously slagging off my boy Doc Brown with him narrating it. He did a perfectly good job of narrating it. But the script of the narration was just like, yeah, we get it. They need to sign a contract at the end of this. Like, it doesn't need to be said every, like, 90 seconds in this show.
And it's like, sort of at the beginning, they're like, you know, it's about looking after the kids and blah, 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 blah. And then, like, every 2 minutes, the massive graphic came up. 5 weeks till contract decision, like every scene. But it was good, like the three kids that were featuring it were all like
different characters.
I was really pulling for the one who's like way shorter than everyone else. He seems pretty good. There was one who was a bit cocky. you had the sort of like, will Bowler get his contract or not? I thought the coach come off really well. I can't remember his name, unfortunately.
He does come off really well. Yeah,
seemed really, really good. So I imagine every episode is going to be like a different year group.
Mm.
So probably the last episode will be all the 18s that have now signed pro terms. But yeah, great first episode. Seems to have like a lot of good feedback. So looking forward to the next episode for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Sort of give me an insight as a parent now with kids who I'm obviously definitely not going to put on vast amounts of pressure to become footballers. I just the sort of, you know, the dedication that they have to put in to, you know, make it work for the kids. It's not just the kids being able to do it and being able to apply themselves. It's the parents just like basically making sure they're where they need to be all the time, and, you know, also, you know, working jobs and, you know, to keep the house afloat and so on. So yeah, really intriguing watch. So that's on Channel 4. I think it's on, what do they call their thing? Is it 4OD? What do they call their streaming thing?
Something like that.
More four. No, more, all four.
All four.
Four, all four.
One yeah. for all.
Yeah. All four. If you want to sponsor us, you know, as you hear at the top of the show, it's available. Yes, we're talking about your documentary here. Come on. Yeah, so hopefully we'll, you know, that will continue to impress as it goes on, and hopefully we'll get to see a few of those kids in the first team in a not too distant future. Another one who came up from the academy and got first team minutes and has since left for an awful lot of money is Aaron Wan-Bissaka. And Albert, he's being linked with a £10 million move back to Palace in a lot of the press today, namely The Telegraph, who launched the story, I think. I mean, do you take him back if it's for 10 mil?
I think at that price, I think we have to take him back, don't we? You know, it looks like Patrick Vieira is sort of trying to get back, you know, based on Friday, trying to maybe go five at the back, play three centre-halves and more wing-backs rather than full-backs. Nathaniel Klein did a sterling job, and I'm happy to see him in that wing-back position. Joel Ward, I don't think, is necessarily at that level, or, you know, and he's probably more of an option to play in a back three, which means, particularly with Nathan Ferguson being injured again, you know, I think we'd be mad to turn down the option of getting Wan-Bissaka back for £10 million.
Even if it's just for, you know, instead of him having a mural at the academy, you could just stand there.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, I mean, and that's me playing devil's advocate and joking there, but there's been a big debate on Twitter around people saying that they don't want him back versus people saying you're mad, you've forgotten how good he is kind of vibe. Where'd you fall, Heskey? I know he's, you know, he's obviously having a crisis of confidence at United, and now he's not even making the match day squads or whatever. But how do you feel about 10 million and him coming back?
Well, I think not having a great time at Man United doesn't really reflect on him at the place of graveyard. And, you know, Wilf had the same treatment, and we all know how good he is. I'd like him back. Right back's not a priority. But at the same time, Nate and Ward are not getting any younger. If we can get him in, I suppose he's going to be on a high wage, so that'll probably be the sticking point. But yeah, if we can get him back on a decent wage that doesn't like smash everyone else out of the park, I'd love to have him back. I think he should remember how good he was when he first got in the team, and then every week just seemed to get better and better. And the thought of having a team with him on the right and Mitchell on the left is too good to turn down, I think. So yeah, I'd love him back.
Don't you think that he's wherever he goes, no one's going to pay him the wages that he's probably on at Man United. You know, it's not like he's going to go to another top four club.
Yeah,
a top four club, not another
top four club.
You know, he's not going to go to, you know, Real Madrid or anything like that. So I think he's going to have to take a cut in wages wherever he goes. And I think that's when, again, like Zaha coming back to Palace, it kind of feels like, well, unless someone like West Ham are going to come in and, you know, and throw more silly money at him, which I don't think they would, you know, coming back to Palace is probably a sensible move for him. And you know what? He's young enough. He's still young enough to come back, regain his confidence, spend 2 years with us. And then, a top four club could still come in for him. And, you know, he could still get another chance at playing, you know, higher up the league and more, you know, European football. I wouldn't worry about the wages necessarily.
Yeah, I agree. But no, I mean, I am onto my second beer now. One of them was 7%, but we can't just keep adding these quality young players and it doesn't start turning out into us finishing in, you know, putting the European places in trouble. Like, it can't. You know, we've got, you look at our forward options, they're incredible. We've got probably the two best centre-backs outside the top six, arguably. You add Aaron Wan-Bissaka as a right-back. We've got Tyrick Mitchell, who's already been called up for England and played a couple of games for England at left back. Sam Johnson is an England goalkeeper. We've got one of the best talents from Liga and defensive midfield in Sheikh Doucouré. You know, like, all these players that we've added into the squad and the talent we've got going forward. And Wilf on top of it, even though he's in the last year of his contract, is sounding super excited in interviews about playing for us and the direction that we're going in. Why wouldn't you want to come here and play football at the moment, especially when you're in the mud like he is, you know, because social media plays a lot into how Aaron Wan-Bissaka is viewed now, because Man United fans have just castigated him on Twitter and Instagram and whatever for an entire year now. And, you know, his reputation is in, you know, it's in the pit. So what, just like Wilf, as one of you refer to, come back to Palace and that's, you know, that's how you relaunch yourself. You come back to an environment that you was in for years, you're comfortable with, you know, everyone. Happens for him here. And I think for 10 million, it's an absolute sniff. And I think we'd be stupid not to. And Palace fans who are saying no have just quite simply forgotten how good he was for Palace. And I'm excited about it. I hope it happens. But it remains to be seen. But one that is potentially closer, friend of the pod and sometimes guest presenter on the pod, Carl, was tweeted that it's true, the rumours around Ismaïla Sarr from Albert's Golden Boys. it's only about the fourth year we're running this joke for now. Maybe fifth? So
feels like more, actually.
what do you think, Ismaïla Sarr?
Yeah, one less car on the road in my neck of the woods if he goes to Palace. Yeah, it'd be great. I think it's a great signing. You know, he's the sort of player that we like. You know, he's pacey, he's tricky. He's been one of Watford's best players, apparently, according to friends of mine, over the last few years. And I don't know, it's kind of, I sort of bite my tongue a little bit. I feel is it a player that we actually need? You know, playing devil's advocate, are we all right in those sort of wider positions up top? I'm of the opinion that you necessarily can't have too much quality. And if, you know, we've lost Benteke, so there's technically whilst he's not a similar player to Benteke, you know, there's a slot in our sort of attacking roster. You know, if Wilf's going to play a little bit more advanced and lead the line, then again, that leaves a sort of a Wilf-shaped hole out wide, and Sarr would be a great replacement. You know, I think it's, again, depending on the price. I think this time last year, there was talk of him, you know, Watford wanting 40, 50 million for him. So if we're anywhere near getting down to half of that, again, I think it's a signing that makes a lot of sense.
Mm. Yeah, you found Hesketh or unsure?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen much of him of late. I saw that he scored his own half a couple of weeks ago, which was pretty good. But he's clearly someone that Dougie likes. You know, we've seen a number of players that have been linked across windows where Friedman's obviously a fan and has gone back to make sure he's, you know, kept looking at them. You know, he seems to have targets that he does a lot of due diligence on, and Sarr is clearly one that he's very fond of. I mean, he's a good player. He's a good player. He might not be a position that we're desperate to fill at the moment, but you never know about injuries or who's going to leave. You know, he's only 24, I think, still. So pretty young. So there's a lot of upside on it. And again, if the deal's good for us, then I can see us doing it. And you say if we were to add him plus a central midfielder, whether that's Connor or someone else, that's about as good a window as you can get, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how genuine the, you know, the links were, but, you know, you look at, there was talk that we were interested in Dwight McNeil, you know, before he went to Everton, and, you know, out of Saar and Dwight McNeil, I think I'd have gone for Saar given that choice. So, you know, like I say, it's clearly a position that we think we need. And if Saar's an option, he's already got Premier League experience, you know, hopefully wouldn't take long to settle in. And is definitely in that sort of Palace mould of attacking wide players that we like. So, yeah, and as you say, if we can bolster the middle of the park, whether that's Conor Gallagher or another, you know, obviously we're all big fans of Conor Gallagher. You know, if we sit here now and think, you know, however long we've left of the window, if we were to sign Wan-Bissaka, Ismail Assar, and another midfielder, let's play devil's advocate and say it's Conor Gallagher even on loan. I mean, that's basically the jigsaw puzzle, isn't it? It's pretty much done.
Yeah. It's going to be the Arsenal defeat that will cost us the title at the end of the season, if that's the case. but no, yeah, agree. But if Monday's anything to go by as well, Zaha playing through the middle as a striker, you know, that leaves that left wing slot open, which Saka slot into. Yeah.
As could Jeffrey Schlupp.
As could Jeffrey Schlupp as well, yeah. If you want to hear more about Jeffrey Schupp, listen to the Match Report podcast from the Liverpool game, because they talk in depth about Jeffrey Schlupp on there. We'll say on here, good to hear Hambo back after...
not going to say it on air.
Cut that out. Right, let's get into Villa anyway. So... Steven Gerrard's Aston Villa, big spending since he's been there. Been an entertaining fixture in the last few seasons. Mixed bags for both clubs, I imagine, really. There's only one draw in those last six. Three wins for Villa, two for Palace. Because we had that horrendous result at Villa during lockdown when they went down to 10 men and we lost, what was it, 3-0?
Yeah,
awful.
Yeah.
Oh, grim. And the 2-0 loss at Selhurst last, was it 2 or did we? No, we scored late, didn't we? Gabe, 2-1. Pulled one back late, mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, what's your initial thoughts on the trip? Well, no, they're coming to us, aren't they? So we're at Selhurst. Oh, I get to go to a game. Hurrah. yeah, Hesiod, what's your thoughts? It's one of those ones that you kind of go into with a bit of optimism, but at the same time, say you never really know what you're going to get.
Yeah, I think they've spent a lot of money and they brought in a lot of players who on paper are all pretty good. Obviously, there's the whole thing about how's everyone going to fit in and buying that many players, will it work? Which is obviously a bigger conversation with someone like Forrest. But I think Villa have... The turnover of players over the last couple of seasons has been massive. I suppose you could say the same about us, so they're probably saying the same thing. But these are the games, you know, we looked at the fixture list and you'd say, well, Arsenal and Liverpool and then Man City are very tough in the opening sort of month. So it's the games against Villa and Brentford, I think, coming up that we have to target to get wins. And, you know, you've talked about how good our squad looks, all the great young players we've got. And I completely agree. And you would say that we have to be targeting 3 points on Saturday. I don't think it's going to be easy. Like you say, there's been sort of a real mixed bag of results with them. I thought we were good value at Villa Park last year and only got a draw. So it's going to be tough. But I think if we are to push on and not just sort of be a sort of 12th in the league team, we have to dispense with teams like Villa. So I'm not going to predict a win.
Particularly at Selhurst.
Yeah.
You want us to build on that sort of, you know, good home form that Vieira bought last season, especially towards the back end, keeping loads of clean sheets and stuff. You know, it's too long. There was that myth that Selhurst was a fortress which sort of came over from when Pulis, back when Pulis was our manager, basically, when we had a good record at Selhurst. But you know, we've been a bit too easy at Selhurst for 5 or 6 years, and it was just really refreshing to actually have it actually be a tough place to come to, because when the team are performing well there, and the actual fans, you know, that we know we have, and the atmosphere we can build, it can be daunting.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's not pointless to say it, but I thought we played well against Arsenal for the most part, and I thought we did a very good job against Liverpool. But if you can't turn performances like that against the so-called big teams, the big boys, into wins against Villa, then you're not really progressing that much. So we know we're capable. It's just doing it.
Cool. Once we lose to Villa and draw with Brentford a week on Tuesday, he's going to be calling for Vieira's head. Albert, in recent games against us, I thought Matty Cash has done a good job for Villa, but he looks like he's a fitness worry. And if he is out, it's going to be Callum Chambers coming in at fullback for them. A bit like Liverpool having problems at the back and Arsenal having Ben White at fullback. It's another thing that we can look at, especially with Wes Wilf concerned, and, you know, see some joy there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, the onus is on us. Whoever plays, whoever starts with Villa, obviously they're a decent side. They've made signings that, you know, they splash money on, you know, expensive Brazilian centre half. You know, they're not a team that they're probably not coming to Selhurst particularly worried. You know, however, they'll have seen the performances we've put in, and we're capable of giving them a game. And you know, like Sam said, it's the games that we, and I have to stress, I'm doing the inverted commas here, it's the games that we should win at Selhurst that are always the ones that we walk away from sort of scratching our head a little bit. You know, that's certainly been the trend over the last few years. So I think we need to build. You know, like the Arsenal defeat was, you know, we conceded two poor goals, and we gave them a good run for their money, particularly in the second half. The Liverpool performance has been covered, and anyone who saw it, well, hopefully anyone who saw it comes away from that feeling, you know, encouraged and positive. And, you know, we look like a unit. We look like a team that's capable of playing football, defending well, and getting our good players on the ball. So it kind of feels like the Villa game on Saturday is sort of a mini culmination of the two performances that have gone before it. And I think we really need to impose ourselves on a team that we're capable of imposing ourselves on, and hopefully coming away with 3 points. You know, like I say, they're not a shit team. They've got a decent manager. They've got a decent squad. There's some real quality in there in players like Coutinho. But again, I go along with hopefully not false confidence in the fact that, you know, even if we only nick it 1-0, you know, I'd like to think that we can turn them over with a bit of momentum that we've gathered in the last two games.
Mm. The Brazilian centre back you talk of course, is Diego Carlos, who he's done his Achilles. Second game for Villa, and he's out for 6 months.
Oh, never mind.
Well, we obviously all know what. What an injury that can be, and how much it can slow down recoveries. Took Eze best part of a season to get back to the form he's in now. So, yeah, really big shame for Villa in that sense. But, I mean, Konsa is the one who's coming in, so he's no slouch.
I did feel bad accusing Eze of looking to appear slow on the football pitch, and then remembered that he did rupture his Achilles. But I wasn't using it as a bad thing. I was saying it more as a mystical, how does he do it type musing.
Hates Spironi, thinks that Eze is ruined because of his Achilles. What was the other thing? I'm sure there was one more.
Your t-shirt.
Okay, so off the back of that, Albert, a team we should be beating. What's your prediction?
Stress the inverted commas. I've had two beers as well, so I'm going to go double fruzy, 2-0.
Nice.
Palace.
Wow. Heskip's got 1-1 written all over his face.
I was going to say 1-0. I've had no fruzy. 1-0.
And I'm I'll go 1-0. I got a draw right. I said draw against Liverpool. I said 0-0. So hopefully that trend will continue. With
does it count? I said 1-1 just in the group chat about 10 minutes before kickoff. Does that get me anything? I don't know what I said on the pod.
You said 2-0 Liverpool.
Did I?
Yeah.
Half a point for 1-1 in the group chat.
What did you say 2-0, Pascal? You said you didn't want to say 3-0, so you said 2-0.
I said 2-0, yeah, but in secret I thought it was
Albert, you said 6-2 Palace.
Yes, you did.
The dice said 6-2 Palace.
Yes, indeed, the dice. So, right, I think that'll do for this week. We're back normal time next week. I checked it out now. We've got Man City away, so we'll be building you up to... We took 3 points from that last season, so we've got to be expecting the same this year, I imagine.
Albert is doing either an aeroplane or a penguin impression. It's hard to tell.
It's an aeroplane.
Because you're on holiday.
I'm going on holiday, boys.
You.
An actual holiday, not a work trip, actual holiday.
Well, I must say I'm shocked. I'm in a deep state of shock. Where are you going?
Spain. I'll take the microphone with me. Let's see what happens.
No, we can find someone to cover, I'm sure. Approaching the back end of the transfer window, Carl Davies, I'm looking at you. I'll drop him a message and see what insights we can get from him. And then if you can join, you can join. If not, we've upgraded.
What's his Roy Hodgson impression like?
I don't know. I've never got it out of him. If he comes on, we'll try and get it out of him. So I'll seek that out, listeners, and see if we can get any juicy gossip from the man himself. The match report will be done on Sunday, so probably in your ears by Sunday night, but definitely for your commute on Monday. Say we'll be back in your ears next Thursday. Yes,
You may even get a mini review of Oxford away.
Which you are going to, new stadium for you.
Which I am going to, new stadium for me.
Especially now you've downloaded your Footology app, Footballology.
Yeah, as alluded to earlier by Albert, I have been trying to log all the games that I've gone to by looking at all my programs. And I am a neurotic mess because I'm missing 6 already.
You're missing 6 programs.
Yeah. And I've only gone from 2022 to 2011. Unacceptable.
See, I had a stab at this and I haven't finished it yet, but I'm up to 601 games, but I haven't quite finished it yet.
I've got another 20 years to log. This is how I spend. I've taken the week off work and this is how I spend it. I think I need to go and lie down.
Yeah. See, I haven't done anything between 2001, 2008 because I wasn't really going. So I can't really remember what I went to and what I didn't. But I know I was probably going to 10 games a season. But it's just remembering what they were. And all the programs are at my old dears. So I need to find them and log it properly. But 601 games, Jesus. 608 matches.
I'd have predicted a defeat in all of them.
Well, the last one I've registered on there is Palace 3, Arsenal 0, so I'm not even up to date in the latest ones. There you go. Right, yeah, so thanks for listening. Thanks, guys, for sharing your thoughts with us. And thank you to Samantha for producing and providing the clips for us this week. And we'll be back in your ears next week. And until then, up the Palace.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport, powered by fans.